And see, fourth Monday of the month with us over the phone. Got her coffee going. Illinois House Republican leader Tony McCombie. Good morning.
Good morning. If I knew my comms people weren't listening, I would have said Monday.
No.
To open it up.
Yeah, break out some mamas and the papas. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, there you go.
Did I hear you say it's going to be 58 today?
Yes.
That's great. I tell you, coming home from Springfield on Friday, I was a bit disappointed to see so much snow, but oddly, it didn't really hit until I was in Thompson.
Wow. Yeah. And then the further north you went, the more you had fun with snow is the way it went.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's crazy. And I left almost 70-degree weather in Springfield.
Rub it in.
Really nutty. Well, I'm not, because I came home to crap.
Wow, amazing. Yeah, you brought up Springfield. Before we get to that, a little bit of, I think it's a good big news. You had this amazing Women of Agriculture event going on back on March 8th. Tell us about that, and where was that?
Yeah, it was really cool. We actually did the first one via Zoom because we wanted to have as many people from around the state with different organizations. So we had women from Illinois Pork, Illinois Corn, Illinois Soy, Farm Bureau, and we had educators locally. We had women farmers locally, and to open us up was the Director of Ag, Jerry Costello, who, when I first was elected, I served with in the House, and just a really good man and leader who works really hard to not make agriculture political. And in our environment, that's really hard. But, you know, ag is our number one economic driver in Illinois. And I think women are oftentimes in the background, and their ideas are great and their concerns are legitimate. And I think we need to bring their voices forward. So we'll continue. I don't know if we'll have a meeting every 3 months or 2 months, but we will certainly start building on that. And a lot of folks have heard about it and want to be more involved. So it's important for us to have women from around the region involved in this.
Well, there you just answered my question. Is this going to be like a monthly, quarterly thing? And you took care of that. I didn't even have to.
Yep, there you go. I read your mind.
As usual. And then coming up next month, not too far away, we've got Chamber Day coming up, and you're going to be participating in that as well on April 10th.
Yeah, so a lot of folks who are listening might work for, let's say, ag, or maybe they are an elected local official, whether it's a township or a county official or a municipal. There's lobby days, and this is Chamber's lobby day, so you'll have chambers from all around. And, you know, we have, in your listening range, you have a ton of great chambers, active chambers and businesses that are trying to build economic development and grow through small business. So it's always fun to speak. And really, I guess you could kind of say my start in this business really started through the Chamber of Commerce. I was on the board and became the president, which got me involved in local business and on Main Street of Savannah. So I often say you can blame or thank. So I always look forward to speaking to the small businesses, and they really have had a rough bout of it. And it's not over. We've had bad policy, a ton of bad policy last year, especially that hit small businesses. One that's been enacted now, and I get a lot of questions on, is the paid time leave. Now they're trying to basically get rid of tipped workers, where you know, a lot of tip workers are making well over minimum wage. And what's going to end up happening is, one, businesses aren't going to invest in Illinois, and two, folks are going to lose their jobs. So we don't want to see that. It's an unintended consequence of what my colleagues on the other side of the aisle think's a good idea, but it's proven to be a failure in California as well as Washington, D.C.
Something it's almost like they're just tinkering with it when, you know, the machine was running well, but let's see what happens if we take a couple of screws out and things fall apart, and then we got to end up putting it back together.
Yeah, and the problem is, Tom, is they put it together with another crappy piece of legislation.
Right.
So, you know, it's just you're always chasing bad policy with more bad policy, and that's where, you know, a lot of people, you know, why are you a Republican? Well, the government needs to get out of the way. We don't need so much big government in our everyday life.
Right. Absolutely. Let's see. You mentioned you came back from Springfield on Friday. And one of the things it seems like we always end up talking about, and it still just kind of gets, I don't know, shoved in the corner and brought out once in a while, is some ethics and some changes and some reform, and it comes up in great discussion, and then that's about it.
Yeah, that sounds about right. you know, we've been hearing, and I think I've even talked about the ethics group was supposed to meet this summer. There was supposed to be a working group. They talk about ethics reform, especially after Commonwealth Edison and Madigan and Mapes, and I could go on, Link, Sandoval, and this is just in a very short period of time since I've been there. They were going to have a working group over the summer, and they were going to come together and actually put legitimate legislation together. Well, it didn't happen. I know that's shocking, but on a positive side, we did have a subject matter hearing last week, and it's the first one since we have been back, or since this whole General Assembly, quite honestly. So Representative Fred Crespo spoke on something. I was walking in on it, and then I had mine. Mine is HB 4119, and that basically does not allow legislators to use their campaign funds for their defense in a criminal or a civil misconduct situation. There was some legitimate questions, and we are open to we're open to those amendments. So we're going to work together. I did speak with Maurice West, the chairman, representative from Rockford, and he and I have a good working relationship, and hope that we can come together, that this is going to be part of a larger ethics package, and I hope one that's meaningful.
Once again, we're on the phone with Illinois House Republican leader Tony McCombe. Okay, so we bring up you can't use campaign money in any sort of legal situation. Does that mean it's been happening?
Oh, well, yeah, it certainly happens. It happens all the time. Mm. In Illinois, for example, Speaker Madigan is still getting funding, which is fine. I mean, now people that are donating to Speaker Madigan know that it's going for his defense, right? Mm. But we have to say on our paperwork when we file, what's the purpose? And I'm going to guess the purpose does not say to defend me in a misconduct trial. Mm. I'm fine if they want to donate on that view, but they are not. They're if you want to start a GoFundMe page for legal defense, knock yourself out. But when you are soliciting dollars like we do to get elected or reelected or help Republicans or Democrats, it doesn't matter. We should be, I think it's false and very negligent for us to take money from people with a different intent.
Right. Absolutely. Especially when it comes to campaign funds. I mean, that's not yours to begin with.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it goes to the bigger point of ethics. Is it ethical to solicit funds from you? You know, and we sometimes get a $5 or a $20 check, you know, with a really nice letter, you know, from somebody who says, you know what, we want to help you so badly, and this is, you know, this is all we can afford, and that's really all they can afford. And then if I take their money and just flush it down the toilet because I was, you know, irresponsible and negligent and did something illegal, not cool. Not cool.
Absolutely. So let's see, a lot of committees got together. We covered the ethics. Anything that else that really popped up?
It was a really heavy week in in Springfield. It was, we had just gotten back. It was more committees than anything. We're in district next week, and then we go back the first week of April for committees deadlines. So there was a lot of committees this week, and they'll push through a ton next week. But a lot of folks, especially on the Democrat side, had primaries, so haven't really been meeting as committees. So there's a ton of work that they have to do yet. But you know, when you get back from the primary, there's always a lot of rumors and, you know, what happened on the campaign trail. And it was kind of interesting because, they had actually primaried the longest serving representative, I'll say Leader Flowers. She's been a leader for years, and then she wasn't. Got on the outs with the speaker, and a lot of members, went in for the other person running. And God bless America, anybody can run. But it was interesting because the speaker put out Speaker Welch put out a statement telling all of his members not to speak to press about anything political. And he's really got a lot of backlash on that, since apologized. But it's, everything we do, unfortunately, is political. Whether it's, the invest in kids, whether it's the budget, whether it's, an appropriation bill for veterans, there's nothing that is not political down there. I wish it wasn't the case.
Right.
But it is. And so for him to tell the Chicago, members not to speak to the Chicago Tribune, was pretty amazing. But he has since apologized, but that's a good little inside scoop, little baseball, little fun stuff that you find out, I'll say another, thing that, certainly came up and was part of the news, our working group, that we call TIPS. It's our public safety working group. As a result of the Safety Act, which I think we're now up to four or five cases in, that folks have caused real bodily harm, including murder, being out on zero cash bail. So this is starting to grow. So this is a group that has proactive and reactive legislation. But during that press conference, there were some questions. There was a case of an activist judge in Chicago came out and stated that it was constitutional, an illegal immigrant had the constitutional right to carry in Illinois, of course, disregarding the FOID card, which is interesting, but it kind of really showed us that things are getting really weird with illegal immigrants. And I know, and some may or may not agree with this, but it is the law. When you're in America, regardless of your status, you are protected by our Constitution. However, this is illegal, and he was legally carrying, and yet the judge ruled to allow this one person. It didn't open it up for everybody, but I need to stress that this case was for one person. But because of how crazy that notion even is, we had got together and filed HB 5790, which will clarify any confusion around illegal immigrants, the right to lawfully carry firearms. So really a response to this judge, and it will be obviously appealed. But as you know, appeals can take a year to 3 years, and we're not willing to wait. So we want to make sure that we stand united to back the rights of citizens, support public safety, and make sure, most importantly, prevent any confusion with existing state statute, especially how it relates to the once talked about non-citizen law enforcement bill. We want to make sure that there's no misinterpretation that we do not believe or want illegal immigrants or non-citizens to be police officers.
Well, I'm the last person on the planet that will admit to being any sort of legal professional, far from it, but just from an analytic look at it, a ruling like that, it almost seems careless because it could actually affect a standing law because, you know, they're we've been after the Floyd situation for 3 or 4 years now, and a ruling like that could have come back and backfired.
Yeah, for sure. And also, you know, here I think is this is an Obama appointed, and I think that's important to say when we talk about judges should not be political, right? And I would say the same thing if this came out of a Trump or a Bush an appointment as well.
Sure.
I mean, these, you know, I have met in this business now. With me being here on my eighth year, I have met a lot of judges where beforehand I never did. And that's a good thing. I never wanted to meet a judge, right? None of us do. But they are very, very careful, even in Republican events when they're running for election as Republicans, not to clap when somebody talks about, you know, void the Floyd, not to clap when something is something that they might have to acknowledge in their own courts. They're emotionless. And I think that's really important. So this judge, this woman, I think because, you know, she had a problem with the Bruin decision, decided, well, you know what? I'm gonna show my power and not thinking forward that, well, you just kind of went against the Floyd bill. And it kind of puts us into a pickle too, Tom, because here we're like in one breath, you know, hey, what do you mean he didn't have a Floyd card either? And then you can't, you know, as Republicans, we're like, well, hey, we don't want a Floyd card. But bottom line is we don't want illegal immigrants. And I think I told you that story even when I was in Chicago. we were at that shelter with former Congresswoman Flores. We were at that shelter and I saw three people with electronic monitors the very next day at that same place. Somebody else was busted, and an illegal from Venezuela was busted and had $60,000 worth of guns and, or I'm sorry, $60,000 worth of drugs and a gun and was put on an electronic monitor. I mean, same deal, right? You don't think an electronic monitor is somebody that's really committed a bad crime, but yikes.
Yeah,
yeah they have. And I don't want somebody here illegally to cause harm, especially carrying. I just don't.
I think everybody would be agreeable with that. Let's see here. A couple minutes left here, Tony. Any travels coming up, going throughout the district? What's your plan outside of back to Springfield?
Well, actually, tonight in Sycamore, we're having leader Jeff Kiker out of Sycamore invited myself and Representative Fritzy to come to Sycamore, and we're going to do an ag roundtable this evening. So it's going to be at the DeKalb County Farm Bureau. So that'll be fun. I think it's important too to hear other parts of the state and their views. And as you know, Representative Fritz is, you know, comes from a farming family, and
right.
So it'll be great to hear, you know, some information from them. Also, starting tomorrow, my next round of office hours are starting. So tomorrow I'm in Shannon, and then on Friday, Pearl City. Sorry, that's Molly. She wants to say good morning to everybody. Pearl City and Lanark. So just again, you know, we have a big district, parts of seven counties, so we're really getting around. A lot of things coming up, whether it's, you know, I think I've gone to six different pancakes and fish fries, and
oh boy,
you know, we've got a lot of those coming up. Chadwick's coming up. Pearl City's having a steak fry coming up. So there's a lot of that around the district right now, which is great because a lot of our rural fire protection, you know, don't get tax dollars, so they really do rely. They don't get enough tax dollars,
right.
I would say. So they do really rely on donations to buy their equipment.
You know,
so just a few things.
You know, it wouldn't be a true conversation with you unless we heard from Molly, so no problems there.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true. So.
And, of course, if anybody has any questions or needs something addressed, what's the best way to get a hold of Tony McCombie?
Well, always repmccombie.com is the best place you can find me, whether you need to talk to me or talk to Connie or any of my my office, the girls in Springfield. So we want to be here to help you and help you navigate, you know, state agencies. A lot of people say, well, what in the world does a state rep do? Well, we help you navigate state agencies.
Right.
And we play a lot of defense on our side of the aisle, but we're working on that too.
Absolutely. Well, Tony, thank you so much for your time this morning, and I'll see you early. Happy Easter to you next week.
Oh, yeah. Happy Easter to you.
Oh, well, thank you very much, and thanks for all you do.
All right. You too, hon. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.